We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope this encourages and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, Pastor Mark Job shares a message on overcoming the world through relationship with the Father. Mark Job is the campus pastor for the Gateway Southland campus. Let's listen in.
Hey guys, I'm super excited to talk to you today. You know, a few weeks ago, I woke up with a couple things on my mind. I thought, you know what, there is something to this. I got to thinking about how we have a threefold enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And then immediately on the tail end of that thought was, and we also have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I got to thinking, you know, we have a threefold enemy. We have a triune God. What would happen if we could connect all six? Is there a correlation or a correlation between these six? Could a relationship with the Father, for instance, help us overcome the world? Could a relationship with Jesus help us overcome the flesh? Could a relationship with the Holy Spirit help us overcome the devil? And so I thought, surely so. So as I began to dive into it, what I discovered really has helped me, and I just want to share it with you. So I want to jump right into it. So the first one today is this, overcoming the world by relating to the Father. Let me just say this right off the top. Relationship with the Father, relationship with the Son, and relationship with the Holy Spirit is where it is. If we don't walk daily with them, then we can never expect to ever overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. So it's not just about what we believe or what we've read in the Word and what we stand on and what we quote and the promises and all that. It's about walking in a relationship. So today, walking in a relationship with the Father. But first, let's define what do we mean by the world. So many different definitions out there. So let me just hit it from this perspective. The world is a system of belief contrary to the ways of God. It's a system of thought, or might put it this way, earthly kingdom ruled by Satan. The world is a way of thinking. It's a way of living that is hostile toward God. It is defined with words like corrupt, immoral, and even an enemy of God. James 4:4 says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." I mean, that's a strong, strong statement. So here we are. We're living in this world. The Bible says we're not of the world, but we're living in the world. But how do you live in the world and not be of the world and still not be some kind of religious weirdo? How can we be men every day living in this world, be real, but not be so contaminated by the world that it becomes a bondage in our life? In James 4, I believe he's talking here about a friend to the people. It's not just a friend of the world. We can be a friend to the people of the world. So he's not saying that friendship with the people is enmity against God. He's saying friendship with the system and the belief structure. You see, everything on this planet tries to conform us. And so what the Lord's trying to say to us today is don't let this world stuff you into a mold where you become more like them than more like God. You see, I believe the problem with the world is this. The world overpromises and underdelivers. How many times have you fallen prey to some kind of sin and on the backside of it thought, man, that wasn't anything like I thought it was going to be? And the enemy's always overpromising. He's overpromising in the sexual realm. He's overpromising in the financial realm. Like if I earn X amount, if I have this car, that house, whatever, then I'm going to really be satisfied. But it doesn't work that way. You know, Mark chapter 8, verse 36 says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" And so when we think about the enemy of the world, you know, later we're going to talk about the enemy of the flesh, and we're going to talk about the enemy of darkness or Satan and the demonic world, the powers of darkness. But what about the enemy of the world? What happens if we were to gain everything in the world, all the fame, all the fortune, you know, all the celebrity status? What if we gained everything that the world says that's the pinnacle of the temple? That's the pinnacle of the mountain. That's the top of it all. But yet we lose our soul. What's it really going to profit us? You see, the world portrays a life of selfish passion and desires filled with no boundaries, no consequences, and they call that freedom. But every person that I know, myself included, if I ever walk down that path and selfishness began to be the driving force in me, I would wake up in the middle of the night realizing I had drifted from God. A lifestyle where we drift and we drift and we drift, that becomes bondage. The world is you've heard it said, and I remember this even when I was a teenager. This is nothing new, but it's a world of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And might not be your world today, but that is such a driving force out there that it's still an issue in many, many men's lives. It's a world of high society. It's a world of low society. It's like we're always judging each other by what we have, what we don't have. You know, so many have climbed the ladder and they've lived the quote, dream that resulted in tragedy. I've thought about just in my own lifetime, people like Michael Jackson, dead at 50, Whitney Houston, dead at 48, Heath Ledger, age 28, Amy Winehouse, age 27, Janis Joplin, back in my day, age 27, Prince died at 57, Chris Farley, 33, River Phoenix, 23, John Belushi, 33, Jimi Hendrix, 27, Elvis Presley, 42. I mean, are you catching those? I mean, I'm 58 years old. Not a single one of these became 58 because they chased the dream of the world and it cut their life short. They found their identity in what they did, and that same temptation hits us. You see, the world's always trying to identify you. The world wants to form you. Now, I believe behind all that is the evil plots of the enemy. But there's still the fact that there's a system in this world that if you don't live it or live up to it, you're judged by certain people. But yet there's a kingdom system as well, the system of the promises of God and the relationship with the Father. But yet the world will try to identify you. We're judged by what we do, and we're judged by how well we do it. Statements like, what do you do for a living? You hear that all the time. Walk up to a guy, shake his hand. Hey, what's your name? Hey, what do you do? Why do we ask that? We don't ask, who are you? I mean, that sounds crazy. What do you do? We're identified and labeled by what we do. How well have you done it? That's probably the next question we ought to ask. What we're really saying is, how much money have you made? How good are you at what you do? Our identity is deeply tied to that. So therefore, when a man loses his job, think about it. He feels like he's lost his life because we're so connected to what we do. But the Father wants to help us understand who we are. I mean, we'll get to that in just a minute. But what we do defines so many of us. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed or do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I love the phrase there. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That, for me, that's a daily thing. It's not like, okay, my mind's finally renewed. I don't have to do that anymore. But everything that I've noticed about what I'm talking to you about today is it pushes us toward a daily shift in our mindset, a daily relationship with God, because the world's coming at us, sometimes not just daily, the world's coming at us with all the philosophies and the bondage of its way of thinking, sometimes hourly, sometimes moment by moment, sometimes second by second, because the world's trying to steal not just our identity. I believe the world's trying to steal our affections because the world doesn't just want to label us. The world wants to steal our heart. That's why 1 John 2:15-17 says it this way. It says, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. So if you're going to love the world, and that means your affections are going after the world. Let me finish the passage. It says, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Once again, you could summarize everything again when you want to define what is the world. You could say it's the lust of the flesh, it's the lust of the eyes, it's the pride of life. Really, those are the motivations inside of us that attach themselves to all the temptations of the world. But both of these passages, Romans 12:2 and 1 John 2:15-17, both mention the phrase, the will of God. One says that you'll be able to test and approve what the will of God is. The other one says, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So bottom line, the world's trying to steal us away from the plans of God, from the will of God for our life. I know way too many people who started off on an incredibly good path. Friend of mine that comes to my mind right now, I wish he was listening to this podcast right now. I used to do ministry with him all over the world. And last thing that I heard, he's talking about leaving his wife, leaving his kids, going down another path. I'm like, man, how in the world, after tasting the goodness of God, can you just turn your back and not just sin overnight? I'm talking about walking away from God. The world has that type of pull. Some of you today, I mean, you're just incredibly pulled on by the world. But let me just tell you, the world's trying to pull you away from your God-given purpose. The world's trying to identify you, steal your affections, and steal your heart. But I want to say this, that's the place of the Father. You see, the Father wants to establish your identity. The Father deserves our affection. Let me read Matthew 3 to you. Matthew 3, 16 and 17, just concerning the Father establishing your identity. Listen to what happens here. It says, talking about Jesus, when he'd been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And then it says, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. How many times have we just read through that and go, oh yeah, that's when Jesus was baptized. But so much more happened in that passage. I said to you a moment ago, the Father wants to establish your identity. That's what he did with Jesus that day. Listen to what he said again. After the baptism, so after the obedience of Jesus, after the cutting away of his flesh, so to speak, and we'll talk about that more in the next session, but it says here, he spoke to Jesus and said, this is my beloved Son, my signifying who he belonged to, beloved signifying the affection of God, Son signifying his identity, in whom I'm well pleased, already signifying you haven't even done anything yet. You've not even done your ministry yet, but you're already well-pleasing. What if I told you today that when you got up this morning, you were already well-pleasing to God? What if I told you when you got up this morning, he called you my beloved Son? What if the love, affection, relationship between you and the Father was settled before you ever got out of bed? The world will throw us into a performance mentality, and we drag it right on into the church. Like, if I'll do better, maybe God will be pleased. Can I tell you, God's already pleased with you? Through the blood of Jesus, you're forgiven. God's pleased with you, and he wants to solidify your identity today. He is saying to you, you're mine, and I love you, and you're my son, and you're pleasing to me. If you could get that settled when the world comes and starts tugging on you, you could actually say, no, thank you. Why would I settle for that when I'm a beloved son of God and he's well pleased with me? So not only does the Father want to establish your identity, he also deserves our affection. Matthew 22, 37 says this, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. You know, when I think about what the world's trying to do, it's trying to capture my heart, it's trying to capture my soul, it's trying to capture my mind, it's trying to get in my mind so that my mind begins to shift to worldly thoughts so that it can move from my mind to my soul and capture my heart. But if I've already given all my heart to Jesus that morning, I've already given all my soul to Jesus that morning, and I've saturated my mind in worship, I've saturated my mind in the Word, and I've prayed, I mean, turned my heart inside out before the Lord, and I've connected with my Father. When the enemy comes knocking on my door, there are certain areas of my life that are already full. There's no room for another God. And that's where he's headed, and that's what the world's trying to do to us. I remember years ago, I was in my 20s, when I received a phone call from my grandfather that my biological father was on his deathbed. Now, I'd never known him. He left when I was just a baby, went off to join the Army. My mother remarried, you know, that kind of story. But I'd never known my father. And so I made a phone call, made arrangements to go see him in the hospital, had to kind of maneuver through the fact that I had another family. I had a stepmom, I had stepsisters who didn't know. You know, my stepmom knew who I was, but my sisters didn't know who I was. And during the last several days of my father's life, I spent them by his bedside. I'd always been told my whole life that I looked like my mother, but when I got in that room with my biological father, the resemblance was scary. And as I stood there at his bedside, I began to watch him as he passed away day by day, as he withered away. The more weight that he lost, the more I could see the resemblance, and I could see it in his jawbones, and I could see it in his eyes, and I could see it in his hands, and I could see it in his feet. And one night I was just standing there and I heard my Heavenly Father say to me, here's a man that you resemble, but you don't know because you never spent time with him. And it wasn't a condemning thought. It was just a factual thought. Here's a man I look like, but I don't even know him because I've never spent time with him. And then the revelation hit me. I heard God say, you look like me. You see, the scripture says we've all been created in God's image. We look like him. And then the Lord said to me, but you don't know me because you don't spend time with me. And the revelation hit me that day that after I got born again, I had pretty good brother-to-brother relationships. Therefore, I felt comfortable talking to Jesus. But I never felt like I could go in and talk to the Father. But can I tell you today, we can? Can I tell you the Father invites you into his presence? You can go and talk to the Father, and he deserves our affection. We can give him all our heart. We can give him all our soul. We can give him all of our mind. So basically, we overcome the world through relationship with the Father. Because as the world presses against us, we overcome. You know, the word overcome is really like a battle term. But it's a hand-to-hand combat term. We overcome the enemy, not just because we're hand-to-hand and face-to-face with the enemy, but because we're hand-in-hand and face-to-face with the Father. I'm going to tell you something. Relationship with the Father is where it's at. 1 John 5:4 says this, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." As I begin to read some of these passages and thinking about my relationship with the Father, I realize what I'm looking for here is not just a breakthrough experience. What I'm looking for here is a relationship with the Father where I walk with him and talk with him everywhere that I go. Okay, so I'm born of God. I'm born again. Like John 3:7 says, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." There's a starting place here where I give my life to Jesus, but then I continue from there walking and talking with the Father. Because you see, faith is not just a one-time experience. Faith lived out is a relationship with God, and that's called faithfulness. That's where the power comes. That's where the identity comes. That's where the affection comes. Because if I'm coming after God with all my heart, then I can stand up against the world. Matter of fact, I can do it very, very confidently because I know who I am, and I know what I'm called to do, and the enemy can't tear me away from a loving relationship with my Father. See, I'm talking today about daily faith. Faith on top of faith on top of faith. Getting up every day and facing the battle. Getting up every day and saying, "Lord, I'm showing up today as your son, your beloved son with a purpose." Whether I'm going to be a school teacher today, a doctor, a surgeon, I'm a lawyer, it doesn't matter because I'm walking with the Father and I don't leave him in my car when I go in. He walks and talks with me all day and I stay connected. You see, we were created for relationship. Bible says it's not good for a man to be alone. If you're married, your wife would amen right there. If you're not married, all your friends would amen right there. It's not good for us to be alone. So therefore, why should we ever be alone? We've got to connect with the Father in such a way that he fills these voids in our life. So I want to say to you today, as it all boils down, I've got a takeaway. There's so many other things you could say about Jesus helping you overcome the world, the Holy Spirit helping you overcome the world. But today's subject is overcoming the world through relationship with the Father. And there's a takeaway I want you to get today. Relationship is made up of initiated time together. So walking and talking with God. Relationship is made up of engaged conversation, listening more than you talk. And then relationships made up with faithful obedience. I'd like to say it this way, HBO, hear, believe, obey. You're staying connected to the Father because as you do, the Father's going to give you three basic things today. He's going to give you identity. He's going to give you security. And he's going to give you authority. Come on, men. If we don't walk with the Father, we're never going to be the men God's called us to be. We're never going to be the husbands. We're never going to be the dads. We're never going to be the grandfathers that God's called us to be. God's called you to be a representation of the Father in this world. And the only way we're going to do that is by drawing near to him and walking with him every day. Walk and talk with God. Listen more than you talk. Hear, believe, and obey. And let God settle your identity. Let him settle your security. Let him settle your authority. Can I pray for you? Father, I pray today in Jesus' name, no matter what we've done, that we would sense your love and your forgiveness right now. And as we cry out to you for forgiveness, God, I pray you'd flood our hearts today with intimacy. You'd flood our hearts today with connectivity between us, that we would know you're our God and we're your sons. You're our God and we're your people, and that we've got a purpose in this world. And we don't have to be afraid everywhere we turn of the pressure and the system of this world. But Lord, we're called to a higher purpose in the kingdom of God. So Father, today we say to you, yes, we'll initiate time with you. Yes, we'll have engaged conversation. Yes, we'll be faithful and obedient to you, to hear you, to believe you, and to obey you. And Lord, today we receive identity, security, and authority in Jesus' name.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to rate and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. Registration for Men's Summit 2020 will open Friday, September 6th. To register, visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.